How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hi, I'm Jules Von Hepp.
Hello, I'm Sarah Powell.
And welcome to Wobble, a podcast about happiness and body confidence.
Because we all wobble.
In this week's Wobble, I am joined by Caroline Bazzana. We recorded this in New York, so sadly, no Sarah Powell this week. You're left with my dulcet tones. But Caroline is an amazing conversation because so many times Sarah and I get DMs about maybe you want to leave your job, maybe you want to change your life, maybe you are thinking about starting it on your own or you're sick of the people that you're working with. And I met Caroline very quickly over a bowl of soup in Manhattan and I was just like, I really like your vibe, I really like your story, I like the fact that you are braving it and going it on your own. And she owns The Hustle, which is a term that means you are going out there and you're getting the work yourself. It's a really good conversation if you are maybe feeling a little bit wobbly at work. And yes, she works in the fashion industry, but what she says can be applied to any industry. You just need to change the examples. God knows Sarah will have some amazing insights on her viewpoints of this episode of Wobble, but I really, really hope you enjoy it. Here's Caroline. So yet again, another podcast episode where I am sat literally in front of the tanning tent in the Isle of Paradise office in New York. And I'm now sat with the lovely Caroline.
Thank you for having me.
Oh my God, you're so welcome. Thank you for coming on Wobble.
Of course.
I am so mesmerized by your style and by your individuality.
Oh my gosh,
and
thank you.
I wish Sarah could be here because she would literally, she would be in child's pose at your feet and she would probably be in your wardrobe stealing half of your clothes. Oh. The coat that you wore today, I was like, Sarah would die for that.
Oh my gosh. Well, Sarah, you can come borrow anything anytime.
You'll regret that statement, let me tell you. Where are you from, New York originally?
Yes, I am.
So when did you start getting into clothes and fashion? Because like, if you haven't been on Caroline's Instagram, we will link it in the bio. Pause this podcast, have a look, and you are going to see, I want to say, just the pure fruitfulness
Thank
of this
you.
Girl. When did you first start getting into fashion?
It's funny because I feel like I think back and I've just always loved color and style and tutus and sparkle for as long as I can remember. If I had to pick one time, I kind of remember being like 10 years old. I originally thought I wanted to be an artist. I loved to paint and draw and things like that. And then as I got older, my mom found me like in my room every day putting together my own outfits and being like, this is what I'm wearing. And no matter how crazy they were, she was so supportive and told me, yeah, I mean, you put it together on your own, wear it. So I think kind of that freedom and that liberty from such a young age to be creative and to kind of wear whatever I wanted, even if it was insane, I think really like inspired me and encouraged me to just keep doing it. So fashion was something I always really, really loved. And then when I ended up going to college, I went first for fashion design. Quickly realized I hated sewing and had to change that around because from a young age, you think, okay, there's two careers in fashion, like buyer or designer. Mm-hmm. That's how I thought. So I was like, I'll be a designer, hands-on everything. Quickly realized, no, there's a million career options. So take the time to explore them all, and then kind of did internships and always wanted to be in fashion though, no matter what. And now I get to just literally play with clothing for a living, and it's kind of like a full circle and a dream come true.
There will be people listening to this, I know for sure, who maybe haven't, you might be still being like university, you might be in school, you might think, oh, I want a job in this industry. How do I start and where do I go?
Of course, I think interning is so important. So during my sophomore year of college, I decided, okay, this summer I'm having an internship in New York City no matter what. I started just emailing people, you know, didn't hear back from tons of people because this was before like you could just find people on social media. But I finally got an internship with Anna Sui. She's a women's wear designer in the Garment Center in New York, and I was in the production department. So I was just pretty much doing anything and everything, whether it was going to get coffee, making copies of, you know, the line sheet, or if we got an order from Net-a-Porter and we needed, you know, 10,000 buttons or something, me like running around the Garment Center from our distributor getting the buttons. So it was just anything and everything. And I had such an amazing time with them that after the summer internship ended, I came back for February Fashion Week and took a week and a half off from school and interned during Fashion Week as well, because that was a completely different experience than the summer was. And I wanted to try that out as well. So I really got to try out so much during that internship. And then after that, I got to try out magazines, which was absolutely incredible. I learned so much, and I interned with Marie Claire magazine, and that was after my junior year. So I did 2 to 3, if you count the Fashion Week internship during college. And I mean, they were all great. They taught me so much about the industry and about, you know, what I like, what I don't like, and what I could really see myself doing long term.
Because, like, you know, I've worked in fashion as well,
yep.
And really fashion was not for me. I think, and I've done Fashion Weeks as backstage as a beauty expert.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
If you've never done Fashion Week, which, why would you? It's a complete head fuck.
It's insane.
And I think it brings out the worst in people. And that was, for me, was like a big, like, I want to move away from this industry. Have you had any of those points working in fashion, or, you know, whatever industry you're in, where you have maybe gone, this isn't for me?
I think there were definitely certain times where I was maybe in a certain job or a situation where I knew, okay, I need to do something else or get out. I would probably say, so after the internships and after I graduated, I ended up working in magazines. My first job was at Teen Vogue, and then my second job was at InStyle. And I would say I kind of had a moment like that at InStyle, where I'd been working there, but I just wasn't feeling like creatively inspired at all. If anything, I kind of felt like I was like in a little box, or I was like up against a glass ceiling. Like, you know, I just couldn't fully spread my wings. And that's kind of when I started getting this idea, or like this little person on my shoulder saying, you should go be your own boss. You need to just leave this. You need to quit. You need to just do something that
makes you happy. And how long were you at InStyle for?
I was there a little under 2 years, so, you know, it was a good amount of time, and I learned so much. I was on the digital side, so very important. I got to learn the ins and outs of running a digital website before I then went out and created my own, so I feel very, very lucky for that. I do not regret it at all, but I think it definitely helped prepare me, whether I realized it or not. Even if I was miserable day in and day out, it really helped prepare me to go out on my own and to try it.
And you have, I mean, gosh, you've recently launched your book, Making It in Manhattan, which is all about, essentially, as Americans say, the hustle, which in the UK we mean literally going for it and wrestling in the pit and getting what you want. I loved what you said about not feeling like you can spread your wings, like almost like you're in that box and you can't open your arms fully. Where do you start if that's what you're experiencing?
Oh my gosh, I mean, you start with crying. You start with feeling so frustrated. You start with feeling like there's no escape. You know, I think that's like where it all started. I knew that feeling wasn't right, because I knew I loved fashion and I knew I'd wanted to work in it forever. So I knew that that wasn't like my end. I knew fashion still had that magic and that sparkle I always had known it had. It was no longer at this company. So after the crying and thinking like, oh my God, what am I gonna do? I need to make money. I need to have a job. I slowly started to think, well, what else is out there? What other opportunities? So I did start applying for other full-time jobs. full disclosure, I at first, you know, was too timid to just say to myself fully, I'm quitting. I'm being my own boss. I'm quitting. It took probably like a solid maybe 6 months of like going back and forth, interviewing for some jobs, maybe not getting them or not feeling a connection at the interview or whatever it might be.
How did you deal with that?
That was tough because at first I just wanted any other job so I could just get out. And then I fully believe in like the universe telling you like, yes, this is for you. No, this is not. So I felt like the universe was not letting me get another job because I was supposed to go out on my own. Because there was, just for example, there was this one job. It was actually a job I had applied for right before I ended up quitting. And I was perfect for it, like had all the right experience. Even in the interview, they said, you are literally the perfect candidate for this job. I said to myself, I said, it's either this or I quit. Like, I'm getting this job or I have to get out of here. I'm like so miserable. I didn't end up getting the job. And fast forward now, you know, a little over 2 years later, I've been doing my own thing. That company actually shut down. So the girl who got the job I wanted and all of the people there were unfortunately laid off. So in the two and a half years I've been out there building my brand, making a name for myself, I could have wasted those 2 years building someone else's company and someone else's brand and having to start from ground one. So guys, listen to the universe. If it's telling you, don't do that. Wait for your time, you know, something bigger and better is out there waiting for you. Yes, it's so frustrating and you're like, I want it now, I want it now, but try your best to listen because I remember being so upset when I did not get that job because I was like, oh my God, like now I have to quit my job. I kind of told myself this is it and I am not going back on my word. So it was tough because then I was just like, okay, I guess this is it. I guess I'm doing it. Like now or never, dive in head first, do it.
I think there definitely is something in that where a psychic once said to me, it was about a personal relationship. She was like, stop trying to make something happen and throw the seeds in the air and see which way the wind takes them.
Wow.
And it's almost like what's meant to happen for you, it will work itself out. It's just
really
a thinking
will.
Time and you just need like, and I know I know Sarah has been through this herself and I know if she's editing this, she'll be like, yeah, I've experienced this and things just work themselves out slowly but
yes,
surely and the paths
yes.
unravel. Now you're on your own, you are growing this business, you've got this book out. Like, what tips, because starting on your own is terrifying. And
yes.
maybe you're not thinking of starting on your own now, maybe it's the thought that's niggled, maybe you won't do it, maybe you've got a friend that's going to do it. What did you experience when you were going it on your own at the start?
I mean, there's so much. I think just right off the bat, I had already been working in fashion, so now I was trying to go out and kind of rebrand myself entirely. I had been branded as a magazine girl, an editor, Caroline from XYZ Magazine. Now I was trying to rebrand myself as just, I am Caroline Bazzana. I am style influencer. I'm then a soon-to-be author, now an author. I'm, you know, I'm just me, rather than being from. So I think that was hard because I had to re-educate a lot of people. So I would say like the first couple of months, I was going out to lunches and coffee meetings with tons of publicists who I'd worked with for years, but to re-educate them because they were all like, we got your like, you're leaving in style thing, but like, what are you doing? Because in my thing, I couldn't really say, oh, I'm going to publish a book or do that. You know, it was, so I think.
But so you still kept the meetings going. You kept your contacts.
Oh,
up.
Yeah. I like made sure I was not going to go hide and like be like, oh, I quit in style. Like now, where's Caroline? I was like, no, I'm here. My hat's still in the ring, guys. Like keep your eyes on this spot because I'm going to do something. You know, it just took time to figure it out. I think that was definitely a challenge though, like re-educating people. Also in the beginning, like you had to save up money. You had to just think of a game plan. Anytime I talk to people about leaving their jobs, because a lot of people ask, I'm like, have a little bit of a nest egg to fall back on. Just the first couple months, you might not get a job right away off the bat. It might take some time to get the traction up. So have something to fall back on. Also having like several sources of income is so important. Even if it's like, you know, you're copywriting for one website, but then you're still working on your book and you're doing Instagram partnerships. Maybe you're doing a little bit of freelance writing for magazines.
Or it could be a bar job.
Yeah.
At night. Or it could be like just helping somebody out
retail.
In their business.
It can even be retail. Like having just like a couple of things to keep your head above water so you're not freaking out when, you know, the end of the month comes and you need to pay rent. I think that's so, so important, just keeping your head above water. I mean, there's so many things in the beginning that you face. I feel like looking back, I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't believe like I went through it all. Like there's times where you question everything. You're like, you start getting emails from people who are like, oh, I heard you left. Like this job's opening. Do you want to come interview for it? And you have to listen to your gut like, oh my gosh, like should I go interview for it? Or should I, like I just took a crazy leap. Like, am I going to now go back or am I going to stick to this? Because, you know, I was approached one time to fill in for someone who's going on maternity leave at Cosmo. And it was maybe like 6 months or so after I had left. And I was like, I just busted my ass for these 6 months, like building my brand and trying to like get my name out there. Now am I going to go back to a magazine for like, while some of them maternity leave, obviously it'd be good money. So I didn't do it. I was like, no, I'm sticking to my brand. I have to have faith in my brand. So I think sticking to your guns is a big part.
And believing in your passion.
Yeah, because we're our worst enemy. There's so many days where you have to tell yourself you can do it. You have to tell yourself you're a badass. You got this. Like, don't look back. Like, you know, you're going to question everything. There's going to be days where you're just like, oh my God. But at the end of the day, you're really up against yourself. Even, you know, you're on social media, you're looking at other people, whatever. You are your biggest competition. You know, that's what I always tell myself. So if you can stay positive and keep hustling and just keep going for it, like nothing will hold you back as long as you just like have this drive that no one can take from you.
And let's talk about the hustle.
The hustle.
Let's talk
oh my God.
About this, because I feel like it's such a, I feel like it's becoming the USP of yours, of like owning the hustle and doing it.
Yeah.
Like what, because when you leave a job or when you walk away from a certain situation, and these are skills that can apply to anything. Like you might be breaking up with someone and you might be like going it alone. You might be leaving a job. Maybe you are moving house, like, or moving area. There could be anything where you're changing the scene and changing the circumstance.
Yeah.
Let's start with some tips of what to hustle. Like there must be some easy way to start the ball rolling and creating a new life for yourself.
Yeah, I mean, we go through change so much, just as human beings, as you said, like houses, relationships, this and that. I think life's just a constant hustle, and just reminding yourself of that and staying passionate and excited. I mean, for me, I feel like on the daily, it's just like meeting, event, appointment, you know, how do I stay motivated with the hustle? I think just reminding myself that I've wanted this for so long. And when I went out on my own, like this is what I wanted. Even when I was literally the day I quit, I was like, this is kind of like what I have now is the life that I wanted. So I try to remind myself like, girl, you're stressing, you're crying, you're annoyed about something dumb that's going on. Don't. Like you had way bigger problems 2 years ago when you were just trying to go out on your own and try to get it out there. So remind yourself, like, this is what, you know, this is your goal. And when you get it, yeah, things could explode and it could be crazy. But try to enjoy it. Something I talk about a lot is also celebrating the little things. And I think that makes the hustle so much more worth it. So for me, if I've been, like, having a crazy busy week, but, you know, one of the things on my list for the week was, like, I don't know, make sure I reply to, like, my inbox on time or whatever it might be. Then go, like, celebrate yourself a little bit. It doesn't need to be something crazy, but go get yourself your favorite ice cream, your favorite smoothie, your favorite, you know, I always celebrate with food personally, but like,
amen.
Like always with a little treat, but celebrate the little things, because if you just are going and never stop to celebrate yourself and to reflect back, like you're doing great. You know, sometimes you just need to literally tell yourself, look yourself in the mirror and be like, you're a badass. You're doing great. Now let's have a night where we just drink wine and watch your favorite movie. I do it all the time. People always say to me, they're like, we feel like you're on all the time. And I am, but I'm off a lot as well. I just am not taking pictures then, so you don't see it. I mean, I love a good wine night with my cat. Like that's my favorite kind of thing. And I think it's those little moments of reality that keep you able to keep hustling.
And also we're all human, and all I think human. It's definitely something that I've learned, like with Isle of Paradise launching, that you have to switch off. You have to respect the other side of your life that your brain needs. It can't keep going, and whatever you're doing in your life, even if it's a project that you're working on or anything's going on. And Sarah is so all about the self-celebration. If you haven't checked out Sarah's masterclasses, you should do. They're amazing.
Oh my gosh, I need to check it out.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
It's this whole switch off, walk away from it, and just give yourself a break. I love the fact that you said, like, have your favorite ice cream.
Yeah.
Like, give yourself a little treat.
Yeah.
And we talk a lot about little accomplishments in the day that are so effective.
Yeah.
Like, making the bed
yes.
is a huge accomplishment because already you've done something productive and you're starting mm-hmm. your day. I think it is scientifically proven. Don't quote me. I'm not a scientist. But about how...
I've heard something about that. If you make the bed in the morning, you're, like, getting off on the right foot. You're like,
exactly.
I'm going to have a good day.
And, like, even getting out of bed is hard work.
Oh, my gosh.
So, like,
especially now with this weather. Like,
yes.
if I set an alarm for myself that it's like a like kind of early and I stick to it, I'm like, you go, girl, you did it. You know, if I don't, again, then I don't hate on myself. I'm like, it's okay. Your body was telling you needed more rest. But I think you're so right. Celebrating like little things like that, like making the bed, getting up on time, like these are accomplishments. Like for some reason, the world doesn't always let you think they are, but they really are.
And let's talk about, while we're on morning routine, I want to talk
yeah.
about your style and you piecing together your outfits. Because
yeah.
if, like, when I first met you, it's like an iconic look. And
oh
you've
gosh,
been praised by Iris Apfel.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the most insane accolade ever.
Oh, thank
like,
you.
How do you have the confidence to wear the clothes that you wear?
That's a great question. I think it might be people like Iris, like women who have gone before me, who have paved the way and been like trendsetters in their generation, who I then look to. I mean, I've never kind of like fit into a stereotype. Even growing up, I think I've always been different. I've always gravitated toward color and sparkle. This isn't something new. I always tell people that, like, I've always loved this. And I've always, like, I can remember being in eighth grade, like, I went to a private school, so I had to wear a uniform, so I couldn't, you know, be creative with my outfits. I used to do the craziest hairstyles, like, just because I was trying to, like, be different. I've just always loved the idea of being different and owning who you are.
And how were the kids at school when you were different?
I mean, we've all experienced some sort of bullying, I think, in our lives, and I think that's something I try to be so transparent about is... If you're coming to my Instagram, like, that's, like, my safe spot. Like, I even get hate messages on Instagram now. But, I mean, obviously, then I get love messages from people who are all about it. But I feel so honored and lucky that I can build a community for people who just want to be themselves. Because there were times, you know, when you're made fun of and people think you're, like, so weird and odd. Because my mom was so supportive. Like, I'd try to do French braids on myself when I'm, like, you know, 10. And they probably looked ridiculous. But it's, like, I'd own it. I walked in thinking I looked, like, straight off the runway.
Like Little Miss Sunshine.
Literally. So, and I think it's kind of that confidence. I mean, now I look back, I think my taste level has definitely, I can now understand what does look good and what doesn't, thank God. But I think it's kind of that instilled in me since I was a kid to just wear what you love, be who you are. But I definitely went through a period, and I talk about this a lot, where no one believes this, but I went through a phase where I wore all black because I thought it was chic. And I thought,
lol, I'm in all black as we're recording.
But you've been working, running around to meetings all day.
And all black for me is, like, I grew up backstage.
Yeah, and as a makeup artist, like, backstage. And also, nothing against all black. If you wear all black, nothing against that. But I'm just not someone that does. So the fact that I kind of, like, changed who I was trying to, like, fit into what was considered, like, chic in fashion, pretty much, and what was, like, the stereotype, I guess. And then I realized, like, this really isn't me. But I look back at those pictures and I just laugh because I'm like, oh my gosh, like, what was I doing? But it was that kind of like re-self-discovery, I think, because I went from being young, being really, really loud. Then I went into like trying to like fit into a mold. And then I went back to my roots to be like, no, like, be who you are, be yourself, wear that crazy sparkly tutu and own it. And I always say, because I get messages from people a lot saying, I love everything you wear, but I'm just not sure if I could pull it off. My tip is always just confidence. I think sometimes I've worn stuff that I look back and like, that maybe wasn't the best, or it was a little risky, whatever. But in the moment, I was so confident that people around me were like, that's a great look. So I think it's just the way you carry yourself and the confidence you have that's been instilled in me. And then every morning when I get dressed, I just have fun. I mean, my whole wardrobe is so colorful. Like, I really don't even own much black. I like own maybe like black trousers and like some black boots and stuff just for like staples when I need them. But mostly everything else, like even all of my handbags are like pink, green, yellow, sparkles, silver. Like, so it's really just every single morning, like throwing everything in the air, like having fun. If you know, check out my page, I've posted closet shots before and they're just literally like rainbows.
And you mentioned horrible comments on Instagram.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that you said that your Instagram is your safe space.
Yeah.
This is your thing. Mm-hmm. So if you're coming there, this is your, like, I love that. I've definitely taken something away from that myself. What about in real life? Like, because I sometimes wear outfits and I will get comments said to me, or I'll get a certain look, and in the beauty fashion bubble it's normal, but you can go to other events where it's people that are very different from you, and some people in this world have absolutely no problem in expressing their views. How do you deal with it?
I deal with stuff all the time. I have people tell me, oh, you look so pretty without your glasses on. I can't see without my glasses on, so I don't know what you're trying to get
at. Let's think about practicality here.
But I think there's tons of things. I mean, there was this, I get catcalls on the daily when you're shooting in New York City on the streets, and I don't even wear anything that's relatively sexy. Like, I feel like I'm usually covered in a big tulle dress. So the fact that I'm getting catcalls, I just get so confused. I mean, the catcalls is one thing in New York City. You just need to straight up ignore them, you know, obviously standing your ground, staying there and shooting. But if you need to move to a different corner, like, again, that's your safe space. You're creating for your platform and for your job. Don't let other people who are saying disgusting things to you, like, get in the way. I've had people come up to me on the street. Like, one time I was wearing this yellow jacket on their face, and some woman came up to me out of nowhere, did not need to, like, but went out of her day to say, you look like a chicken. And I was just so, I said, thank you. I was like, oh, thank you so much. Like, I really appreciate it.
Pass the seeds, bitch. Now do what?
People will shock you. I mean, people, like, I wear my hair down a lot, but I wear slicked back buns a lot. And I've had, you know, like, male relatives say, like, oh, you look a lot prettier with your hair down. Or, like, just things like that. I mean, you would be shocked. So my whole thing is take everything with a grain of salt. Do not let anyone's opinions get to you too much. I like my hair pulled back. I like my glasses. I like yellow coats. If I personally like it, I don't give a crap what anyone else thinks. It takes time to build that personality and that mentality. Don't get me wrong. Because there's times where maybe when I was first starting out, someone said, like, oh, that's an interesting outfit. And maybe I went home and I was like, oh my God, like, I guess this wasn't good. Like, this is, but now I'm like, this is who I am. This is what I like. I mean, I'm in a situation all the time where I'm walking into an event flooded with beautiful women and like girls who are so chic. So just kind of owning who you are and reminding yourself daily. I'm big on like mantras and life mantras and looking in the mirror at the end of the day and being like, you looked so beautiful today. You know, your outfit was fire. You owned it. you know, just beautiful things to yourself, because we don't stop enough to say things like that to ourselves, which blows my mind. So looking in the mirror and just being like, you are beautiful, you're smart, you're intelligent, you killed today, like, you look fat. I'll look in the mirror in my outfit sometimes and be like, you did good today, bitch. And I'll like walk out. And it's just little things. And then I walk down the street and I'm like, you know, I feel like I have music playing in the background, but there's not, of course. But it's just that little bit of like not caring what other people think, and just knowing that you like it and that's it. It's tough. That's why, I mean, if you scroll back on my Instagram, I didn't used to wear my glasses all the time. That was something that happened just in the most recent couple of years, where, I mean, my vision got a little bit worse. I needed them more. I mean, I used to only wear them occasionally. But I'm just not a big contacts person. I'm not good with touching my eyes. And I think glasses flatter me nicely. And they are such a fun accessory to play with. So I just wear my glasses all the time. But it was something with confidence at first. And feeling like glasses like weren't necessarily sexy was something I dealt with a lot. And being like, should I just try contacts? Like, I don't know, blah, blah, blah. And funny enough, the person that pushed me to wear my glasses is my boyfriend. He's like, I think you look beautiful either way. He's like, and your glasses are you. He's like, they are a part of you. So funny enough, it took a guy to say it to me. It's something that I've always like reminded myself is they are me. They're a huge part of me. And now people will stop me at events or street style photographers and be like, don't ever stop wearing glasses. Like, they are like your look. So it's kind of become like my signature now, which
but also
is so
you need
funny.
Them
and also I need them, so yeah. Well, people think they're fake all the time. I have people who will finally meet me and be like, I have to know, are those real glasses? And I'm like, yeah, they are. Like, I mean, maybe.
But so, even if you do wear fake glasses, if you just love having that accessory.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, go. Like, I love crazy glasses. Even if you don't need them, they make every single look better. I swear to you, glasses just, like, bring the look together, in my opinion. But I'm biased, obviously.
Damn, my perfect vision.
Literally, I'm like, but then people who have 20/20, I'm like, how? Oh my God, jealous.
We always finish our wobble interviews by asking our guests, in life, what makes you wobble?
I think in this industry in particular, in fashion, there can be a lot of things that make you wobble. It can be just, you know, I think something I used to deal with a lot that now I've overcome was I don't look like a model at all. And I've grown a platform where girls look to me for posting pictures of myself, which is so weird. I never used to be comfortable in front of a camera. Like, I wasn't the girl who was like, ooh, take a picture of me. Like, I'm sexy, this, that, and the other. That was never me. So I think it was very difficult in the beginning telling myself, like, okay, like, people want to see you in front of the camera. And, you know, you're not a model, but you need to own that. That you do have imperfections. And you do have a big nose. And, like, you do wear crazy glasses. And you don't have perfect skin. So I think there are days where I've gotten past it, but you need to remind yourself of it. And that's where my mantras come in. Because you can be scrolling through Instagram, we all do it, the comparison, and you see a girl who looks fire in her pictures and she's gorgeous. And guys, remember, Facetune is a thing. So not everyone is as perfect as they appear to be. But, you know, you can start to feel down on yourself. Wow, that girl is gorgeous. And all of her pictures just look amazing. And damn, like, her skin is so good. Did she get Botox? Like, should I get Botox? Like, should I? You know, you start going on a spiral. I call it the mountain. You jump off the mountain, you start going down, down, down into, like, should I do this? Should I change this about myself? You know, I think there's days where I even still hate my nose. Years later, I mean, I've grown up.
I love your nose.
Oh my God, stop. Thank you. See, and it's things that are
I would never even think that about you.
Really?
That's all your own shit.
Oh my gosh, see? And guys, like, as you're listening to this, it's all stuff that you have put on yourself. It's not anything that anyone else thinks. I mean, I think it goes back to just insecurities from when you were younger, or things one person said to you once that just stuck with you. So I think for me, things that make me wobble are just, you know, trying to stay confident in who I am sometimes, because it can look so easy to look pulled together on Instagram. It really does. And you know, it's easy to feel down on yourself and to start picking apart who you are when no one else even thinks that about you. They think, you know, you look great and beautiful, but comparison and, you know, anxiety and insecurities can come into play. And, you know, surrounding yourself with really, really amazing people is so important, and people who uplift you and who love you and who think that you're amazing for who you are. I think that's a huge thing. And finding a partner in life who supports you and uplifts you. I feel very lucky that my boyfriend's like, do not ever get plastic surgery, wear your glasses. Like, we've been together since college and he's seen me through this crazy journey. So I think finding someone like, it's so rare. It's so rare, but a best friend, you know, a sister, a mom, I mean, just someone who you can on the regular call up and be like, today's been shit. Can we just talk? Having your person changes everything. And I have mine. And I think that's how you build a brand. You build it piece by piece, but it takes having a supportive, badass group of people behind you every step of it. Yeah.
Amen. Amen. I have loved you being on Wobble. You've been an amazing guest. Thank you so much for coming on.
Of course. Thank you guys so much for having me. This has been amazing.
I really, really enjoyed this chat with Caroline. I thought some of the stuff she said was just absolutely great. Like this idea of, if you know you want to change direction and you know you want to do something new, it's really easy, isn't it, to get so impatient around that and want it to do it, and wanting to do everything now. And I think that just that idea of trying your best and just listening, just keeping your eyes open and listening to what you want and what's going on around you, I just think that's great. And also, you know, when she talked about saying no to the maternity cover, like that job came up. And I actually had a really similar experience last year where an opportunity came up, and it was an amazing opportunity. It was great, but it really wasn't what I wanted to be doing. So I had to say no. And sometimes you get tested on it as well, and you have to say no twice. Do you know what I mean? It's almost like they haven't heard you the first time. So they're like, oh, are you sure you don't want to do it? And you have to go, no. And it sends a really clear message to yourself and to everyone else around you that says, this is what I want and I'm going after this. And if it doesn't look like that, I'm going to say no. And it's really brave, but it's, God, it's so empowering when you do. Thank you so much for being here. As always, an absolute treat to have you on Wobble. Please do like and subscribe. It really, really helps us. Leave a review as well. God, we love that. Thank you for listening, and we will see you next time for another brilliant guest on Wobble.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.